Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
Let me make a disclaimer. I am not Pat McGuire. I know that some of you received the bulletin and it says that the guest speaker for today was him. And he was invited. He was the elder. He's the elder for, he was the elder for 47 years in Hawaii Church. And he's always willing to travel, to come and provide us a message. And so he was planned to be here, but he got a little sick with his something, you know, flu. And then he said, Pastor, I'm sorry, but I said, don't worry, I'll take care of this time. And so we postponed, and he will be here this month still. He will come and provide us not only a message. We already have the title, everything is a beautiful message. I hope you come to listen as he comes. Now, today's message, a prophet for a prophet. How fitting, right? What does this picture show tells you? Somebody who all that they think about is money. It is green, and because it's green, they think it's vegetables, right? It's good for your health, so they eat. Some people are swallowing money. A prophet seeking a prophet. What is a prophet? All of us know what a prophet is, right? At least we understand is someone who speaks on behalf of God. You're to intercede, you know, because God cannot talk to us because of sin. And so a prophet is a mediator in that sense. It's also a messenger. The word prophet means a messenger or an angel, which means a messenger as well. So he is the channel. A person who is a channel, a conduit, somebody who brings to us God's will. A religious figure who delivers divine messages. Now, a prophet is a financial gain. Has to do with money or coins or whatever it is. No credit cards, of course. Essentially suggesting someone who uses their prophetic abilities or influence to gain personal benefit. This can be happen to pastors. They can happen to conference presidents. It can happen to many people. The reason why they are involved with religious institutions, sometimes it's just because of the salary. Very briefly, when I just got married, I live in a very small house that belongs to the university, Loma Linda University, La Sierra campus. And our neighbor, next door, so next door that when they talk inside the house, we could hear everything. We couldn't, even if with all the windows, that's how close the house were. And he was a theologian student. He graduated, and we talked. I talked to him many times, and one day he came to me and says, you know, I talked to our conference president, and I informed him, I asked him his opinion, because I started having feelings that God is calling me to not to be a pastor of a church, but to establish my own church, my own denomination. And the president gave me his blessing. And I thought, are you saying another church? I asked him, what do you mean another church? He says, oh, a Sunday keeping church. But I says, but aren't you a Seventh-day Adventist? He says, God wants me to open a church for Sunday observers. And just like that, both husband and wife left the Seventh-day Adventist church because he wants to pursue a career that will pay him a little bit more than Pastor Elson's receive. In a Seventh-day Adventist church, just briefly, this is extra. Pastors in a Seventh-day Adventist church, they are not very well paid, but they are not, they receive enough to have a good quality life. The church provides well for its ministers. And in our church, pastors are not, by policy, not allowed to have another job. You can only be a pastor. If you're a pastor, and if the conference allows you to have any other job, has to be inside of the conference, meaning you are a pastor and you hold a department. but it has to be all inside of the denomination. Why does the Seventh-day Adventist do this? To protect the ministry against greed. Amen. That's why it is beautiful what our church has as a policy. Of course, there's always somebody who are overcome by greed and they find them one way, but in bystander, our church only accepts ministers who do ministry. Amen. And that is a beautiful thing. And I just want to share this. And one more detail. When you turn in $1, a tithe, $1 here locally, 70 cents comes back to your church to provide a minister to your church. 30 cents goes to the union. The union take 10%, send the rest to the division. The division takes 10%, send the rest to the General Conference. The General Conference takes 10% and the rest is for the mission field. So when you put a dollar inside of the basket here, it will reach the whole world. Amen. So I want you to know that when you do not put the dollar here, the whole world see an empty space. So let's go to the message. Balak, a prophet for a prophet. I think you probably will, if you did not know that, our church is unique. Even a Catholic priest once told me, I wish that the Catholic Church could have the system the Seventh-day Adventists have for tithe. I said, it's in the Bible. It's right there. Balak was a pagan king who took preventive measures in his own mind by trying to harm the children of Israel. God has done some amazing things for the people of Israel. We know when they left Egypt, everybody heard about the miracles. Who is this people that even the sea opens for them to pass? Who is this people that has a cloud over them to provide them shade every single day? Who is this people that there is a light? They don't have to pay electricity. You know, if you live in San Diego, you know that they keep going, the price keeps going up and up. No electricity. God was their light. Wow, these people say, who is this people? And everybody. So instead of causing attraction to some admiration, it caused to some people fear. Why fear? And Brother James, I appreciate very much your teaching here in the Sabbath school. Sometimes people don't realize that fear always replaces faith. It never can reside together. And so fear came in instead of faith. Some people, when they saw the miracles, they developed faith in God. But some people saw the fear, saw the miracles, they developed fear. Now, this is happening even today. Thousands of years, we still work the same way. Egypt, the world's powerhouse, the number one power in the world at that time, it was brought to their knees because of a saving God. Notice that I said because of a saving God, not because of a powerful God. Because there is no more power than to save what does not deserve to be saved. And that is what the power of grace does. Thank you, sister, for amazing grace. They never made a recovery, never. If you go to Egypt today, you see people pulling horses with carriages, even today in the middle of the streets. Even today, they have money, they have oil, they have all the things, but even today, they never came back. The pagan nations of the Near East were all afraid of God. Do you know one thing that causes fear? Ignorance. Do you know what causes sin? Ignorance. When we sin, is an act of insanity. And that's what it is. And so they were afraid of God because they had no idea who really God was. They also hate the Jewish people. Jealousy. When somebody starts to be so prosperous, you have two choices. Or you tell this person, well, I admire, what is going on in your life? Beautiful. Share with us, what is the secret? Or you may go to a corner and start hating the person. How come God gives to this person, doesn't give to me? Why is this person better than I am? I am. And they go, I, and never gets anywhere. Because they were sided with whom? Who are the pagan they have as their god? It was Abaddon. They call Baal, they call all different names, but those are just nicknames. It is either or God Abba or the god Abaddon. You stuck with Abba, one or the other. But this Abaddon, Don here means destruction, the father of destruction, and the enemy of God. Why is he the enemy of God? Because if God is the creator, he is the destroyer. The opposite. God is good, he is evil. God loves, he hates. And that's what it is. Don't get them confused, okay? Just like some people sometimes get confused. And the pagan nation got them confused. That's why they were afraid of God. Since they were pagans and they worship idols, and God had promised to bring mankind a rescuer. Who is this rescue that was coming? My Savior, Jesus Christ. Throughout the Jewish nation, God chose them to bring the seed. Genesis 3:15. The people of Moab was terrified because they assumed that the children of Israel would attack them. Do you know what is peculiar about Moab? Moab, their mother, and the father got out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they were told, that is what God looks like. Look what God has done. And so they were terrified about anything because they knew. And so that was their perception of God. They looked back and they saw destruction. So Moab, decided, I don't want anything to do with this God. So they went and created their own God. But you know what is interesting about Moab, the God they created? They run from a God that they say that was a destroyer, and they create a God, Molech, that required them to bring their babies, a year old baby, and put an arm of an image like this of iron, and so red because it was put, heated up with fire, and there was their arm like this red, and they would come and put their baby on the arm. And the baby was screaming until it dies. That was Moab. And you know who Solomon married? A Moabite, the first one of the thousand. The first one. And then he built a temple in Jerusalem, right beside the temple of God, to Molech. That is the Bible tells you. They pressed their king, Balak, to take, we have to do some thinking. Isn't that a typical, sometimes people go after the government and push them to do things because sometimes they are moved too slow? Sounds familiar. They pressed their king, Balak, to take preventive measures. Balak counseled with his pagan priests, and they decide to reach out. You know what? Balak would say, what am I paying you guys for? Are you good for anything? No. For this matter, we need to get one of their own. And so let's go and look for Balaam. Yeah, Balaam. Balak was, it sounds like Balak, Balaam. They can't get along because their sounds are almost like Balak was ready to use for telling. The word that I came to my mind is also divination. But I don't like the word divination because the word divine is there. Divination implies God. And so when people use the word divination to refer to evil, they are misusing the word. So there's nothing divine about Satan. So I don't like to use the word divination. So that's why I'm using here foretelling. People talk about the future, pretend that they know the future. To manipulate the situation. Why manipulate? Because it's all deception. Is all about lies. It is a diabolical practice that is prevalent even today. You go see television, you see some of the movies, the cartoons that are made to children, and if you pay close attention, all this evil stuff is there, is infiltrated. You go to the place called Disneyland, you see all this spirituality, all part of the package. Like Satan says, give me your children and I'll have everything. Foretelling involves astrology, magic. Oh, sometimes we like magic. I don't know why we like to be deceived. We know this trick. But the Bible says that magic is evil because it's deceptive. So if you see a magician on television, don't spend too much time wondering how you have no idea the impact that that does to your brain. Be careful what you watch. Horoscope, you know what I mean. The zodiac, and goes the list goes, etc., etc., etc. The basic idea is to manipulate, is to deceive people by using the skills that only Satan has, because he is the father of lies. God should be in control of all things. How much?
All
things, including my dinero, my money, okay, my coins. God should be in control of everything. So through magic, people attempt to take control of God by taking his place. In this case, Balak wanted Balaam to manipulate God into cursing Israel for his sake, because he wants to defeat them. Balaam was a prophet who was very interested in making a profit. He wants to make money. Why not? I'm going to do something good and I'm get some money for it. But in this case, he was going to do something bad and he's going to pay the price for it. Greed is very dangerous, because once we give ourselves over to greed, we will be irrational without considering the consequences. Insanity. Balaam knew that was what he was doing was wrong. He knew. Most of the people who does something wrong, they know that they are doing something wrong. I have a little fellow here. Is he out, Eliander? Yeah, in the back. You know, the tiny little fellow like this. He is a year and a half. We say, don't. He look, and he look at us, and he knows exactly it is wrong. That young, we all know there is something divine in us that tells us to discern between right and wrong. And it's early, and so we know. He knew that it was what they are doing wrong. Both of them, they knew. He was controlled by the thought of the money that was going to receive. All that he could think is about the money. Money, money, money. I need the money. I need the money. And becomes irrational. They don't think about anything else. Numbers 23 to 24 gives us three attempts by Balaam. Of course, now I'm going to go a little faster here because there are a lot of verses. So what I want you to see the verse, and I will mention a few things about the verses, but it's more as a reference to you than that I would like to talk about, okay? So this is where you can later on this afternoon, you have a homework for this afternoon. You're going to take this and you're going to read verse by verse, and with the talk that we give here, it will give you some insights, okay? And in 23, 24, and 25 is the fourth attempt. So why I put the title, A Prophet for a Prophet, the four here, because it took four attempts. It's not only four means F-O-R, but it's also, there is another meaning here. So I did this so that to provoke your minds to think a little bit. So a prophet for a prophet, he only got the prophet after the fourth test, okay? He did. It is when Balak is actually, he succeed by getting, receiving this very sick advice from Balaam. Balaam's first attempt. This attempt is laid out for us in Numbers 23, verses 1 all the way to 12. So I'm going to be, like I said, a little fast with the text. Balaam said to Balak, build. So they built altars. How many? Why do you think he said seven? Why not six? Why not five? Why not about three? Manipulation. He wants to look as genuine as possible. Seven is God's number. So he wants to pretend that everything was legit. How many people dress like a priest and they speak like a serpent? How many people do those things? That's the part of evil. And so after Balak had done this, they sacrificed the bull, the ram. Notice that he sacrificed exactly a clean animal too. A very expensive animal. And they did. Why? Because they said, if we give, we are entitled to ask. How many of us are tempted even today to believe that once that we give, we're entitled to ask? I have quite a few times in my life as a pastor, he received a large donation from some members, and then there was something attached to the donation. We want this to be done. We want this to be done. There was always a if. One time, we received a $10,000 to buy a fence that was needed because the church was so close to the high school that the kids were putting graffitis in our doors and everything else. We come to the Sabbath to the church, there were all sorts of graffitis, sometimes even very bad names, bad words. And so we had to put a fence. We asked for a donation, we received a $10,000. We need only $5,000. At that time, we need only $5,000 to put a fence. And so we received a $10,000, twice as much. And then the daughter of the person who gave it the money came with a list of conditions. My husband is the one who is going to look for the company to do it. My husband is going to, and he was not even a Seventh-day Adventist. She was, but here. And then I asked the treasurer, may I have the check, please? And the treasurer gave me the check. I took an envelope, I put the check inside, and I went to this beloved lady. Beautiful, a saint that will be in heaven. I know she will be there. I give her the back, the envelope, and it says, dear sister, thank you so much for your offering. It was very kind of you. But unfortunately, with the conditions that is attached to it, the church cannot accept. I appreciate it very much. Thank you. She received, very smart lady, even though she was 90-some years old, but very, very smart. She received graciously, said, thank you, Pastor. She put it in her purse, and I thought it was the end of it. Now we have to ask another, make another campaign to get the money for the fence. Then we came to prayer meeting. She handed me another envelope in front of her daughter and said, this is for the church. At your discretion, Pastor. For the church to do what the church believes is right for the church. Oh, her daughter got the message. The fence is still there. Almost 30 years, the fence is still up. It was a very good quality fence. It resolved the problem completely. So let's continue. Balaam set anything up in order to please God. He was trying to manipulate God. He offered sacrifices. Balaam was trying to make the entire thing look so legit, so religious. As long as we say, praise Lord, the Lord will be here, right? Matthew 7 says clearly, not all everyone who says, Lord, Lord, God is going to be there. And verse 23 says, clear, 7:23, Matthew says, I have no idea who you are. That's what Jesus says. So be careful. Don't use your faith to manipulate God. Use your faith to express how much you care about God. Have you ever tried to cover up what you have done wrong in your life by wrapping it with the likeness of something righteous? Sometimes people think just because it looks religious, it is religious. Believe me, the devil is very religious. And he still is the devil. When God appeared to him, Balaam said, I have built seven. Oh, by the way, let me remind you, Lord, I'm doing the right thing. I built seven altars, and all the bulls are here. They're all clean, everything else. I have done things by the book. Now you listen to me. Right? The Lord gave Balaam a message, and he always does. Then send him back to Balak. Now let's be positive about something here. Why God is talking so much, taking so much time to deal with Balak, even though Balak wants to hurt his people? Because God knows the heart. And there's hope. God, by his grace, tries to reach out, because God always wants to give an opportunity for somebody to see. And so God continued dialogue. When Balaam returned, he found Balak and his officers standing by the offerings. Right there. Oh, what is it? What are we going to do? God is not mocked. He knows that what is going on. He meets with Balaam and puts a word in his mouth to speak and to go back and tell Balak. Remember, Balak is also a child of God. That's the way God saw it. Balaam said, King Balak of Moab brought me from the hills of Syria to curse Israel and announce it is doomed or destruction. But I can go against God. I can't. Can you say with me today? I cannot go against God. What is God wants the most today? To save you. And you have to say, I cannot go against God. When you, young lady, look to or young boys, look to another girl or boy, and something tells you, no, no, no. Think about this. I can't go against God. Amen. If God is telling you it's not good, step out. Amen. Don't step in. If God tells you, don't. He did not curse because he can. He never will. Or condemn Israel. He can. That is the devil's job. And here's Balaam. Look down, all the Israelites are there camping in peace. The light of God upon them. And here is Balaam, and they're sitting there. Right there is Balak looking. What can I do to destroy these people? Because they may destroy me. From the mountain peaks, I look down and I see Israel. The obedient people of God. This is key. A key. God's hand is over the people because the obedience that makes the connection. But you see later on what rebellion does. Rebellion brings the destroyer into the picture. They are living alone in peace. And though they are many, they don't bother the other nations. Just leave them alone. I hope to obey God for as long as I live. Say with me, please. I hope to obey God for as long as I live, because I want to live forever. Amen. That is the secret. And I want to die in such peace, because if I die in such peace, I live forever. Balaam opened his mouth, and Balak believed that he is about to curse the children of Israel. I said, oh, here comes. God turns the curse into a blessing. Romans 8:28. All things contribute for those that are called according to God's purpose. Balak said, what are you doing? I ask you and I pay you. I want to remind you, I'm paying your wages. And instead of cursing them, you are making them even stronger. You are blessing them. What in the world is going on? But you have blessed them instead. This is not working. Balaam answered, I can say only what the Lord tells me. Do you know that sometimes religious people do the right thing for a while, but unfortunately they fall asleep and they end up doing the wrong thing later? why couldn't he follow his own, you know, he would be today one of the most wonderful prophets on the Bible, and yet he has mentioned the Bible as a symbol of a curse. Of course, this infuriates Balak because he was just paid. You know, he wants his enemy to be gone. God cannot be manipulated. God does not just hear our words and see, but he sees our actions. He also knows the motives that are in our hearts. Like Sister Helena was talking about the hearts, the mind. The second, Balak, the same thing. Went the same process. Now, Balak says, maybe this place that you are, you see the whole nation. What about if you have a different view? Like a view that you don't see things very clear. Maybe you'll be able to curse them then. So Balak tried to be sneaky. Tried to say, what about if you see just a little bit of them? Maybe that God will change his mind. Things will be different. And so Numbers 23, all the way to 26 verses, it talks about this. I'm going to go now fast forward. Let's go somewhere else. And then he went to somewhere else, looked for a place. He built the altars again, the same manipulation. All the thing, wait here beside your offerings. Balaam said, I'm going. The prophet, one time, he should say to Balak, I'm done here. I don't want to be part of this. Brothers and sisters, when something is wrong, don't try it again. Think that it will become right just because if you did it again. Sometimes people think that by repeating things over and over, it becomes easier to accept. And believe me, our society is rely on this. They are knocking the door. They are knocking. They are entering our minds, the minds of our children. We are being contaminated by concepts that are completely immoral and evil. And we are endorsing, we embracing without doing anything else. And the whole thing went back the same way. All the same manipulation. And they think that God will be tricked this time maybe. Maybe if we keep doing, the Lord appeared to Balaam again and gave the message the same thing again. Go back. And he went back and asked what the Lord said. Does the Lord change his mind? Does he change? No. Can God be manipulated? No. He knows what these two men were up to. He knew from the beginning. Pay close attention to my words, here Balak starts saying. God is not just human. I hear sometimes, and I read some theologians, that they address God as if God was human. They try to put the same deficiencies that we have, limitations that we have, into God. One theologian that I mentioned here before, claimed to be a Seventh-day Adventist, he said God does not know the future.
Oh, no.
And then I asked him, well, how come, what about the prophecies? Oh, I have a problem with that. I said, duh. How can somebody say that God, why? Because he's putting God in a human form. Put the limitations of God. Sometimes we do this. Sometimes we think that God does evil things because we accept that evil is part of life. No, evil is a strange part in life, but not of life. God is not a mere human. He doesn't tell lies. Who tells lies? The father of lies. Abaddon, but not Abba. Or change his mind. He doesn't. This verse is very, very, very good. God always keeps his promises.
Amen.
Look how powerful this verse is.
Yeah.
God is not human. Praise God for that.
Amen.
He doesn't tell lies. He is the truth. He doesn't change his mind. He never changes. God always keeps his promise because he never changes. That's why. My command from God was to bless these people. And here I am. I cannot change anything. He told me, bless them. I bless them. But somebody could have told Balaam, how many gods have to say to you the same thing before you realize that you are in the wrong place? Brothers and sisters, don't spend too much time on the enemy's camp, because the enemy will find a way to get you. Get out. Israel's king is the Lord God. Now, Balaam is telling Balak, are you trying to pick a fight with God? Because if you fight against his people and he is the kingdom, the king, do you know what happened in the battle in those days? Every single day or time there was a battle, the end of the battle was this group has to kill the king of the other one. Look in the book of Kings. You see, it's always like this. When you defeat the other people, you go and kill the king. In many cases, they kill not only the king, but the whole family, the children, everything else. Those that are with us in prayer meeting, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. He lives there with them. By the way, do you dare to go there attack? Do you know the one that opened the sea? He's down there. This was enough for Balak to say, I'm out of here. But no, this is what one thing that we see in evil. Evil keep persisting. Sometimes what is said is that good people give up too soon, and evil people continue insisting. Why sometimes evil is so persistent and the good people give up so easily? With the strength of a wild ox, God led Israel out of Egypt. Just to remind you, no magic charms can work against them. Just look what God has done for his people. No evil stuff, no Mickey Mouse stuff, nothing can be used to try to defeat these people, because they have the real thing protecting them. The real one. Magic tricks will not use. They are like angry lions ready to attack. And now remember before he said, they are peaceful people. The first time he said he's peaceful. Now he says, they can attack. And God is their king. God turns the curse into another blessing. God reminds these two men who he is, that he cannot be manipulated like other people can be manipulated. He will not be bribed like Balaam was ready to. Balak said, if you are not going to curse Israel, what am I paying you for? What are you here? Then at least stop blessing them. I'm paying you to curse them, and you don't curse them, but then you bless them. At least don't bless them. I have already told you, Balaam answered, I will say only what the Lord tells me. Can we say together? I will say only what the Lord tells me. Nothing else. I'm not going to add anything else. It is only what the Lord, so it is written. So says the Lord. One person once asked me, why do you Seventh-day Adventists don't eat pork? And I used to go to this sophisticated medical explanation because the trichinosis that goes this. And I says, what a waste of time. You say all this baloney thing is flies over the high and the person is going to get their pig anyway. I decide to do like Jesus Christ did. I said, because it is written. Nothing else. If you are sincere, that is good enough. But if you're not sincere, you go after your pig no matter what. And there, see, the pig is running. But again, we see Balaam is motivated by greed. Money, money, money. He wants that cursed fee that Balak is ready to offer him. Balak wants to deal with curse. Balaam did not realize a common fact. If you want to be part of a curse, you become cursed. Whatever you touch, you become. The final fell attempt takes place again. And again, I'm going to be a little faster, okay? Then Balaam said to, please come and I will take you to another place. Let's do this again. And they did. And they did. And they did. And everything, they built the altar, all the thing, the same thing three times. And it kept going. I have to go this because I want to the conclusion to give you. And Balaam lift up his eyes and saw Israel coming tribe by tribe. And the Spirit of God came upon him. He took up his discourse and said, the oracle of Balaam, the son of Beor, and the oracle of the man whose eyes opened. And he kept going on saying, words of God who sees the vision of the Almighty, falling down yet having his eyes uncovered. And he keeps going. Sorry to go fast, but you can all... He lies down as a lion. They continue the description. For the third time in a row, God turns the curse into a blessing. Then Balaam's anger burst against Balak. And he struck his hand together. And Balak said to Balaam, I called you to curse my enemies. But behold, you have persisted in blessing them. Now my anger is going to go. You see, I asked you to be a curse. Now you're going to see what a curse is. Therefore, flee to your place now. Get out of here before you're going to get yourself in big trouble. Balaam knows that he cannot curse the children of Israel. But he still wants the fee. He wants the money. So instead of finishing, get out of there, he decided to bring destruction. There was a way. And this is the conclusion. Balaam final four. The attempt number four finally works. Why? Anybody knows of the lesson here? The lesson is the enemy cannot touch you as long as the hand of God is above you.
Amen.
But when you decide to remove that hand, because that hand, the presence of God is making you uncomfortable, because you wish to do things that you're not supposed to, and you know that you're not supposed to, and then what happens? When the hand of God is moved out, the hand of the destroyer comes. And what is said, the destroyer comes, brings all the pestilence, bring everything else, and tells the people, this is not me. This is not Abaddon. This is Abba doing because you disobey him. So not only he brings destruction, but he brings the blame on God. That's why the people were afraid of God, because they believed that there was all those an act of God. It says the curse of Balak wanted to fall on the children of Israel is found in Numbers 25. Let me go here because I want just to say this to you. He asked, do you know, I know a plan. Do you see those young girls, Seventh-day Adventist girls? Take them to a picnic with them. The Baptist members, the Baptist church, or the Catholic church, or no church. Just take them so they meet each other, because young people need to see each other. And then, Mom, I wanted to meet Jose. And who is Jose? Or I want you to meet John, or Martha, or whatever the name it is. Oh, no. She's not a Seventh-day Adventist, or he's not a Seventh-day Adventist. But, Mom, he's better than anybody in our church. I heard that so many times. This person is better than anybody. You need to meet this person. You need to talk to see how good this person is. And the conversation goes on. And then comes the children afterwards, all right? And then what happens to the children? Daddy stays at home. Mom brings the children to the church. And then one day, the children already get a little older. Mom, I don't want to go to church. Church is boring. I want to stay with Papa. I want to stay at home. I'll stop here so you know the rest of the story. It happens all the time. It's happened over and over and over again. And sometimes we wonder why our children, our young people are no longer in church. The children of Israel brought destruction upon themselves because they played the harlot with the beautiful Moabite women. They came into pagan worship and they intermarried with the Moabites, and they brought their religion and they brought their gods. And later on, like I already mentioned, they even built a temple by Solomon himself inside of Jerusalem, right beside the house of God. Do you know why Jerusalem was destroyed? Because they brought the destroyer in. Sometimes people say, why is my house infested with rats? Maybe you have a lot of cheese around. Maybe you had to clean some of the cheese that are around so you made the rats will leave. As long as you feed them, they will come and they will multiply. The same thing as sins in our lives. Attitudes. If we don't eliminate them, they will multiply like a pest. 24,000 people died. Because that is the price. Can you imagine Balaam getting that money and realize when he got the money, blood came down? Do you know what 24,000 people died means? Do you know how many families were crying at that moment? Do you know how many children would not have their father or their brother? Because Balaam gave the wrong advice. Because he wanted a group of money. He wants his prophet. Phinehas ends the carnage by taking a stand against sexual immorality. And we today have to do the same thing. Brothers and sisters, there are a lot of pressure in a church today, a Seventh-day Adventist church, to accept what society are trying to impose in everybody. They come with a rainbow flag saying this is from God. Do you know what a rainbow flag means, right? In the Bible. No, not pride, that pride. In the Bible. I know, promise. Oh, I thought you said something else. Okay, do you know what it says? It is a promise. An invitation to grace. That's what God, when God showed the rainbow, it was an invitation to grace. It says, if you come accept, there will be no destruction. And today they have the flag to say a defiance. Just like in the past, they built a tower to say, no flood is going to come. Go ahead, God. Pour down the water. We are ready. We have these towers here. Today they have some same thing. They have the towers and they are defiant. And they are making Christians bend their knees because of fear. They are intimidating people to accept their immorality. Same thing that Balaam, same thing. And we as a church has no business in compromising the values that God has given to us. Stand up. Don't be a Balaam. Do you mess with any form of witchcraft? Do you do those things? Do you like magic? The Bible says that it's satanic. If you read your Bible clearly, it really tells you. Are you in danger to be controlled by money? The Bible says that a love of money is the root of all evil. That is a poor translation. It's not possible for us to love money. Not possible. The real way for you to read the First Timothy, when Paul says about this, is like this: greed is the root of every evil. There's nothing wrong with money. We all touch it. We all need it. We all can use. We can use to glorify God. I'm here because somebody invested money for me to be here in front of you. So there's nothing wrong with money. It's greed is the problem. Greed is what brings destruction. I have to skip this because I am a false prophet. They will come and they will try to occupy this pulpit as well. They will come to your house through the television. They will come to you by your phone. They will come to you via computer. They will come for you from a textbook from the high school or a book from the library. They will come. Be sure about that, they will come. And probably they already arrived, they already knocked, tried to knock your door down. False prophets, they are there. They are there. Be careful. Do not believe in every spirit. Be aware of false prophets. Matthew 24:24 tells, in the last days, false Christ will come. Have you met somebody who calls themselves Christians and they don't want anything to do with the Bible?
No.
Oh yes, I met a lot. I don't know about you, but I have. People who call themselves Christians, and when you say, oh, but the Bible says, oh, no. My religion doesn't say that. False Christs, they are here. They are well organized. They are strong. They are persistent. And they are coming after your children. Walk with your children. Show them the path to eternal life.
Amen.
Do not neglect, because then you regret. A prophet for a prophet. Balaam became an example and a warning to those who put money above morals. Micaiah 6, verse 5, 2 Peter 2, 15 and 16, Jude 1, 11, and of course Christ talks in Revelation also against this spirit. The wages of sin. We have three or four more verses and then we are done, okay? The wages of sin. For the wages of sin is?
Death.
What do you see in death?
Very good, getting old and dying.
Sometimes it takes only a bite. That's how it got Eve and all of us into this death business. Was a bite. But the gift of God is eternal life. Remember the ifs, because it's all conditional in Jesus Christ our Lord. The Israelites also killed Balaam, the son. So the wages of sin. He was trying to look for destruction. He got destroyed as part of the process, who had been a fortune teller. How come he couldn't say, oh, but if, by the way, this is going to cost my life. He couldn't see. So he was fake. They had forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. This is very key. And I hope that this stays in your mind. 2 Peter 2:15, New King James Version. Now, this is the last slide that I have. The compromising church. Do you know what that church was called the compromising church? Pergamos. Do you know what it was unique about them? They started a period of 313. It went into 538. Do you know what happened in 538, right? When the Bishop of Rome was declared the head of the holy empire was established. This was the time when persecution stopped. The devil did stop persecuting the church. Instead, he says, it doesn't work. So he joined the church. Do you know what happened today, brothers and sisters? Many churches know things wrong is happening inside of the church. And I talk about life. I don't like to call it lifestyle because that's a death style. It's not a lifestyle. And we compromise. Some people say, oh, we have to be kind like Jesus. We have to embrace everybody. Yes, we have to be kind, but with kindness to save, not to comfort people, compromise. Compassion is different than compromise. You can never have compassion and compromise as part of the same plate. It doesn't work. So if you want to save somebody, dare to love them the way they need to be loved. Call the sin by its name with compassion. Because Jesus said, go and sin no more. Many went back after being healed by Jesus, went back. And Jesus said to them, don't do it because something 10 times worse may happen to you. So when God gives you grace, he gives you grace because he wants you to be changed. Amen. But I have a few things against you. And thank God that God is not talking about Vista. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who, there means inside of your church, who follow the teaching of Balaam. God forbid. He taught Balak how to cause the people of Israel to sin by eating food offered to idols and by taking part in sexual sins. Revelation 2, verse 14, New Central Version. Brothers and sisters, I hope today you make a commitment. I hope today you make a commitment. Don't let your ears hear Balak's message. Listen to that part what God said. He does not change. He is compassionate. He wants to save you. He wants to lift you up. Not today, but forever. Amen. So make commitment today to adopt God as the head of your life. Amen. Don't compromise. No matter how much they can take from you, don't let them take the God that you serve. Have the desire to live forever. And the only way you can do it, by embrace the forever God. He loves you and he wants to save you. If you have any doubt, look at the cross and you see the price was paid for you. God bless you. Amen. 'Tis so sweet to trust Jesus. Yes, it is.